tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Morning, welcome along to Tip Today, 1800-938-007. That's our free phone number. Won't cost you to make a call. Leanne is looking after the programme today. Coming up on the show this morning, a Sinn Féin local election candidate will join me for today's spotlight. Are Irish people feeling isolated within their own country? A listener is of the opinion that Irish politics is just falling apart. Ellie is out and about for us today on the village tour. She'll make her way to Moyne and we'll be going live to her there just after 10 o'clock this morning. Sergeant Carol O'Leary will be with me in studio with the Garda update. A regular contributor to the programme is wondering what's going on in Fine Gael, and we have Alton Elizabeth, our gardener, towards the end of the show. So if you have a gardening query, now, will you log it with us as soon as you can on 083 311 3311 for text or WhatsApp. You can email, of course, tiptoday at tipfm.com at any time at all. Let's have a look at what's making headlines in your newspapers. Of course, today, Wednesday, the local papers are out. The Nina Guardian, and they're leading with the story that the Taoiseach Simon Harris has intervened in the controversy over the highly controversial decision by the HSE to repurpose that multi-million euro care home for the elderly in Ely into a temporary privately run step-down facility for patients at the overcrowded, to say the very least, Limerick University Hospital. But Alan Kelly raised the issue with the Taoiseach in the Dáil last week and was told by Mr. Harris that he hoped to see proper engagement over the issue to ensure that the concerns of the local community in regard to the contested decision are heard. The Nationalist, and a very stark headline indeed. You have to go back to 1947 for a worse outcome against Limerick, and West Side is reflecting on Limerick's victory over Tipperary and looking ahead to what he describes as a spicy Waterford game as well. The Tipperary Star, the main story there. A judge has called the assault of a man who fell 20 feet from a window and broke both his ankles callous and chilling at Nina Circuit Court. And Wayne Mitchell was assaulted as he lay on the ground waiting for help by one of two men who broke into a flat where he was staying. And Judge Catherine Staines made her comments in relation to the CCTV evidence that was played out in a court. A remarkable photograph as well on the front of the Star of the Tipperary manager, Liam Kyle, obviously reacting during the game over the weekend between Limerick and Tipperary, but looking very, very frustrated indeed in that photograph. To the national papers then, the Irish Daily Mail, the main story there. A High Court judge has criticised the Department of Justice for failing to inform an asylum seeker that he needed to register as a sex offender here. And the asylum seeker, 23-year-old Iraqi of Kurdish origin, I think, was one of two migrants who successfully argued that he should not be sent back to the UK where he committed the sexual offence due to the risk of being sent onwards to Rwanda. The Irish Times, a couple of stories there to highlight. The main story on the front page, Ireland will start returning asylum applicants who came here through Britain within weeks under plans agreed by the government, although uncertainty remains over how effective the initiative will be in practice. Well, indeed, that has to be the understatement of the week, really, when you think that Rishi Sunak isn't going to accept people back. Also on the Irish Times today, the government was urged to intervene in a move by the European Commission to phase out current methods of adding smoke flavouring to ham rashers and smoky bacon crisps as well. But the Irish company Kerry Group warned that an EU decision would cause major economic harm to the Irish food sector if this was to go ahead, the Irish Examiner. And their main story is a very interesting one indeed. Gardaí are investigating allegations that a planning report was doctored in Ard Bord Pleanála without the consent of the author to ensure the development had a much greater chance of being given the green light. The Irish Independent, making reference to Tent City, an operation to clear the makeshift camp housing about 200 asylum seekers outside of the International Protection Office on Mount Street is expected to get underway today. But as Pat told you there during news, it is in fact underway as we speak. But Simon Harris has pledged to ban asylum seekers from creating shanty towns in Dublin City as they wait for their international protection applications to be heard. So that's a look at what's making headlines in your newspapers today. If you'd like to make comment on any of that, we'd love to hear from you. And again, it's 083 311 3311. And we're always, of course, delighted to hear from you.
Local Election 2024 Spotlight on Tip Today.
Now, with local elections just around the corner, it can be hard to keep up with the growing list of those throwing their hat in the ring. Therefore, every day on the show leading up to June 7th, we will invite candidates on air to speak about their own campaign. And joining me this morning is Sinn Féin local election candidate for the Thurles area, Dan Harty. Dan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Fran, and good morning to your listeners. I hope everyone is well on this 1st of May day and Gaelta na hana, Dibh Gléir.
Indeed, and a very special day it is too. And of course, I mean, you'd be particularly conscious of that with your background of Irish history and
absolutely, Fran. Yeah, I studied I did an arts degree in UCC back in my younger days. I studied archaeology and Celtic civilization. Obviously, Bealtaine would be part of the Celtic festival, so yeah, I would have come across all of that sort of stuff during my studies.
Tell me about you and Sinn Féin. I mean, when was it obvious to you that Sinn Féin was the party that you would align yourself with, Dan?
Well, I was always a Republican. I would have always kind of been drawn towards Sinn Féin. I suppose it would have been back in UCC in Cork when I first joined the party, OGRA, as it was at the time. And I went on to be part of the party national executive there. We had a very active and I suppose it was a great group at the time in UCC. Actually, Councillor Tony Black from Chiptown was there at the time as well, and Donica O'Leary was there, who is now Sinn Féin front bench spokesperson, and numerous others went on to work for the party as well. So I suppose it was in campaigning around housing and healthcare and youth issues in college that I kind of developed my politics, and went on to join the party then when I came back to Tipperary after my studies. So
and of course you worked with Martin Brown and with Kathleen Funchen as
yes,
well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. I was a party organiser for Sinn Féin across Tipperary and Carlow Kilkenny for a good number of years. So I would have come in at a time where we had a very successful local election in 2014, and we were eyeing up obviously winning Dáil seats in Tipperary and Carlow Kilkenny, which we went on to achieve, which was great. It was the first Sinn Féin seats that were won for over 100 years, so it was an interesting time.
It's one thing being an activist, Dan, but throwing your hat in the ring then to actually be a councillor or indeed to go ahead in a general election is a different ball game, isn't it? You know, because it's putting you out there.
It is indeed. It is indeed, Fran. Now, I have been involved in campaigning for a long time, I suppose, so I wouldn't be a novice at it, I suppose, but in terms of putting yourself forward, it is different. You're front and centre then. In terms of radio interviews with yourself, I wouldn't have had to have done anything like this, so it is a new departure for me, but I suppose I do have more experience than maybe other candidates putting themselves forward for a first time. But I think I'm enjoying it so far, and I think I'll be well able for the challenge and looking forward to it.
We'll talk about the issues of housing and health and all of that in just a moment, but I found it interesting that you have a farming background as well. Is that something that you'll use in your armoury as well?
Well, absolutely, Fran. I grew up on the family farm at home. When I was younger, I would have been always out in the fields with my father. We have a small holding in Holy Cross there. I suppose we went out of farming for a number of years then, but just in recent times we have taken on a small herd again, and we have a small family business there as well in terms of the veterinary supply industry and the service of TB guns. So I suppose the small farming holdings, if I look across my own area, a lot of small farms have gone out of existence. People have moved on to other industries, into trades and stuff like that. So it's unusual, I suppose, for people to be going back into it at this time. A lot of the farms, existing farms, would be bigger, bigger holdings, I suppose. We're currently trying to get a start ahead on the small farm again.
And how do you feel about rural Ireland? Because many of our listeners have been telling us over the last few years they feel that it's being chipped away at all of the time. Is that something you would go
on? Yeah, well, that would be my experience as well. I think it's, in terms of keeping our young people around rural Ireland, is proven to be a major challenge. Obviously, to have vibrant communities in your rural villages and rural areas, you need your young people to stay. I know yourself, Fran, your son has moved abroad there recently, as stated on the show. This is the case across the board, across Tipperary and across the country. We need to look at why our young people are moving abroad. They're going abroad for better access to housing, for better access to employment, and that's something that we need to focus on, and that's something I'm looking at focusing on.
It's interesting lately that Micheál Martin on the show didn't accept that. He said that, you know, they're going for adventure, they're going for the crack, they're going for experience.
There is an element to that, and I suppose the Irish people have always done that, but I don't accept that, and I know Jackie Calla said that as well. I absolutely don't accept that. I know the housing options aren't there for people, the employment options aren't there for people, and a lot of people are going, they're looking at their own life in Ireland and they don't see a future for themselves, and they're looking at going abroad to access a better quality of life, and that's a shame, and that's something that we need to work on, and that we need to fix, and we need to keep our young people here to set down roots here in our local communities and our local towns, and that's something that needs to be prioritised.
You're canvassing, Dan. What are you hearing on the doorsteps?
Yeah, I've been canvassing now. I've been out, I think, before a lot of people. I've been out over a year now. I've canvassed over 3,500 doors. There's a lot of issues coming up, obviously. I think the main issue is people are actually looking for change. People aren't happy with the way the country has been ran at the moment. There's a lot of issues around housing, health and the rest of it. But change seems to be one of the major things. Obviously, housing is a major issue. In terms of affordable housing, people trying to access social housing. There's a lot of people trying to buy a house locally in the area, in Turles area. They're being priced out of it by career landlords, by people with large property portfolios, in the bidding process in terms of getting a house. Just the affordable housing options aren't there. We've seen the rise in house prices over the years. In terms of social housing delivery and affordable housing delivery locally, it needs to be stepped up. I know the government have targets. I know our own party have our own targets as well, which was at our last budget. We said we'd deliver 20,000 homes in the country. I have done work locally as well in terms of the Turles local area draft plan, looking at specifically the Turles area in terms of housing. I've seen recent CSO figures that were released during the summer show that about 14.5% or 1,100 people, adults over the age of 18, are living at home with their parents. Now, in the local area plans, these people aren't accounted for. The local area plan runs up until 2030, which by that time, an extra 850 people, adults over 18, will be in that same position. Now, the local area plans don't account for these people. We're talking about immigration and why people are going abroad. If we don't plan to house our young people, where are they supposed to go? Are they supposed to live at home with their parents indefinitely?
And of course, it's not an easy fix. And when a party is in opposition, it's grand to say, you should do this, you should do that, we'll do this, we'll do that. But once you get into government, you'll find what a slow-moving machine this can be. And you have to be careful about promises, Dan.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I'm not making promises at all, but we need to start somewhere, and people need to start seeing changes being made on the ground. For example, in terms of the national planning framework, these people aren't being, even the plans aren't being put in place to house these people. So I brought a motion to our Ardesh there just before Christmas in terms of the hidden homeless young people living at home, including those in the plans, and how local authorities do their figures for how much housing is needed in local areas. And that's something I've put forward through Sinn Féin to make our national policy as well.
You alluded to change there just a little bit. And of course, you know, over the last few years, Sinn Féin would have been seen as possibly the party of change, and maybe possibly to lead the next government. But over the last while, that seems to be diminishing, in certainly if you're to believe what's happening in the polls out there. Were there some wrong steps made about the party? I mean, for starts, the endorsement of the referendums, and we know how that turned out. Also, the hate speech and the party stance on immigration. And it appears that nationally now you're trying to backpedal from that in some sort of a way.
Yeah, well, look, we were riding very high in the polls. I know from the response we're getting on the doors, people are looking for change, and Sinn Féin is certainly one of the front runners in terms of delivering that change. I suppose we have seen a small drop in recent polls over the last few months, but I suppose
it's a considerable jump.
Yeah, it has been in terms of the figures, but in terms of the last two polls now, we seem to be steady at 27%. I think that is a reasonable figure to be on. And look, we didn't do everything perfect. We are making our positions very clear now in the upcoming European
but
local elections.
But coming out and seem to be behind the government's stance on the referendums, on the hate speech, and indeed on immigration, is that sort of foolish? Because you seem to be part of the same set then, and where is the change going to be? And I suppose that's what people are questioning now.
Well, our change in terms of immigration, our policy is very clear in terms of housing, in terms of health, in terms of tackling the cost of living. That's the issues that are biting people the most, and we do have clear policies that are very clear.
I'm not all that clear about the policy on immigration, because I mean, I know that people like to throw at your party the notion that you were for open borders, and now sort of there's a denial of that. But I mean, that is the impression that people had for some time. I mean,
yeah, well, that might be the case, Fran, but it's absolutely not the policy. Our policy on immigration is quite strong, and I'm happy with it. Look, there is an issue with immigration, obviously, at the moment. We have scenes in Mount Street this morning where there's a shanty town being moved on. Where are they going? People don't know. We was watching Primetime last night. The government don't seem to know the correct figures of where migrants and asylum seekers are actually coming in through the country. There was obviously a big discussion around the issue of Dublin Airport and people coming in through Dublin Airport. It now seems that a lot of people are actually coming in through Belfast. Barry,
more than 80%,
90%. The government aren't clear on their figures. This is a major issue. That this question isn't being asked of people entering the country. If we don't know where they're coming through, how is the situation supposed to be managed? It is going to be a major issue, and something that needs to be put at the top of the agenda as well. Frank,
can I ask you before I let you go? I mean, one of the big issues I presume you're getting is the notion of the bypass where Thurles is concerned. I mean, What about that? What are you telling people on that?
Well, absolutely. In terms of the bypass, I held a public meeting earlier this year around that. There is currently Thurles is not on the National Development Plan in terms of the bypass project. We're looking at, there's a midterm review of that plan early next year, and we're looking at putting together a campaign similar to the Tipperary Town style campaign that was ran before the last local elections. It's in terms of getting Thurles prioritised for that, putting our arguments forward, and lodging a lot of submissions around that. So have ongoing meetings at the moment with it. We're looking at holding a workshop around submissions in the coming weeks to kind of get businesses and the public in and involved in
But you see it as a core issue.
It is a core issue, yeah, absolutely, Fran. The town is absolutely choked in terms of business.
Let me just throw a question at you that just came in from a listener. Random question, but it's an interesting one. A person wondering, what would Sinn Féin do for my son? He's suffering from severe depression. He's trying to raise children by himself. And on a waiting list for 11 years, his mental health is deteriorating. I'm a family carer, and I have to help him to pay his rent, as his rent is so high. What do you say to somebody like that, Dan?
Well, look, we all know the health service in Tipperary is struggling at the moment, especially around UHL, and we know the mental health services are struggling. I know I was speaking actually to a constituent on the doors not so long ago. She's working with the disability service and the mental health services. They're Section 39 workers. They've tried to hire 5 staff in recent times, and they couldn't fill the positions due to the Section 39 staff are on 12.5% lower wages than the Section 38. So that's 5 positions in that key sector that couldn't be filled. There needs to be pay parity there. If we have the resources for those positions and we can't fill them, that's just not good enough. And not only that, do I need to be filled, we need extra supports and extra staff and extra resources for people in those positions. We also look at the UL hospital at the moment. I know my own party are bringing out a policy document on Friday around UHL, around looking at NINA, A&E and NSA&E and the reopening of that, and in terms of bringing on extra bed capacity, and in terms of obviously staffing levels and ending the recruitment embargo there.
And just before I let you go, last time round at the local elections, it certainly appeared to me that Sinn Féin in Tipperary was very divided, Dan. Has the party united in the county?
Yes, we actually have a very strong team now going forward. The party are united behind all the candidates.
Do you accept there were differences there in the past?
There were differences there in the past, and these things happen in politics, Fran, and you just have to move on. It's unfortunate, but look, we've come out of it strong. We're running more candidates than we've ever run before. We have candidates, we're running candidates in every local election area across the country, and we're looking at putting a strong team into Tipperary County Council this time, and we're looking to elect all our candidates and looking at influencing policy in the next council term.
All right, good to see you, and we wish you well, Dan.
Thanks you very much, friend.
Coming into us.
Goodbye to your listeners.
We'll take a break, back in just a moment.
Tip today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. You can't beat experience. With over 50 years maintaining Peugeot cars and vans, we like to call ourselves the experts. Call Slattery's Garage for a free vehicle health check today. 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pocón, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pocón, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Now, with all of the controversy surrounding the issues in Newtown, Mount Kennedy, and even here in Clonmel, where the housing of refugees are concerned, many people are left concerned for what they see as an isolation of Irish people. Now, Brian got in touch with us and joins me now. Brian, good morning to you.
Morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm very well indeed, Brian, and good to talk to you today. I think you might have a radio or something on in the background, do you?
I just
turn it down for me now. You were talking about the notion that Irish society now is beginning to mirror what happened to the Irish in America in the 40s. What do you mean by that, Brian?
It's basically no Irish need a fly.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's like you see housing and everything all over the whole entire country at the moment. There's 14,000 or 15,000 Irish people homeless. And there's literally, you could near enough say there's not one single foreigner homeless. Even though there are a few people complaining, but there is a few people on tents and things like that. But look at all the 14,000 or 15,000 Irish that's in tents and nothing about.
Right.
And yet the government are there building houses, building modular homes, building villages for all these foreigners, but they're not doing one single thing for the Irish people.
And our own people. Why do you think that is, if that is the case? Why do you think that is?
That I don't know. Obviously it's some sort of probably a secret handshake or something with the Irish government or something else. Because they don't seem to give a damn about the Irish people who actually are the ones that are paying all the tax and who are actually paying their wages. And like, I mean, you go to a house, any housing authority, you're literally told there's nothing there, there's nothing to be got, there's no houses available. But suddenly, a busload of foreigners can come into a town and suddenly they're all housed. And the council will tell you there's nothing there.
Now, as we hear today, of course, I mean, there is a shanty town in the centre of Dublin City that they're trying to clear this morning. So,
that's because it's under watch time's nose.
And even where Newtown and Kennedy was concerned, I mean, what they were trying to do was put asylum seekers into tents there. So it's not as if they have luxury accommodation, Brian. So it's worth pointing out.
99% of them have luxury.
Do you think?
Oh, most definitely. Like, I mean, I do a bit of taxi driving there now, and I look at a village not so far away from me, and every one of them have top-of-the-range SUVs, the whole lot. They have a mobile there that comes into them. They have free taxis, if such is the life, because they ring me when they're looking for a lift to Dublin Airport, and she wanted a receipt off of me so that she can claim her money back.
Is that a fact that you can get a taxi service and claim your money back? Is that factual?
Yes, she looked for a receipt off of me so that she can claim her money back. And what? She also asked me to keep my mouth shut in the sense of she was going over to Ukraine for a couple of days to bring her sister over, which at the time, she was not allowed to leave her own bed overnight because she had lose her accommodation.
So she asked you to keep quiet about the journey?
Yeah, that she wasn't even in the country. And yes, the government brought in that they have to stay in their own bed or to lose their accommodation.
What are you hearing in the taxi? What are people talking about? What
very, are the main points? Very, 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 very bitter towards the Ukrainians and all that now. And in the very beginning, everybody was very sympathetic. Everybody was all for him, arms out, welcoming him in, the whole lot. Now when you see all these men walking on the streets, everything, the whole lot, why are they there? If they're so proud of their country, why aren't they fighting for the country? Like, their country is a massive country. They don't have to come to Ireland. They can go to other parts. It's just very same as happened above in the north of Ireland. People down in Kerry didn't immigrate, anything like that. It's the same principle.
And what about when people make the point to you then that, you know, well, the Irish went abroad to seek their fortune and...
But the Irish didn't get any handouts.
Does that annoy you when you hear that argument?
It does. I mean, it annoys me in the sense of they walk over here and they're walking all over us when they come over here. They're handed houses, they're handed mobile phones, they're handed cars, handed free transport, free everything, free medical care, the whole lot. We are working everything all our lives, paying taxes. We don't get anything. And if we look for something, the rigmarole we have to go through to even get what we're actually entitled to is unreal. And they just walk in, get it, and walk out.
But the government are making the point that this is an extreme situation. There's war going on.
It's not extreme, no. There's not a war going on over there. There's only a war going on in a tiny little corner of the country. Happened above in Dublin, or above in Belfast. There's only a small war went on above in Belfast. It didn't affect the Republic of Ireland. It didn't, the war over there doesn't affect the majority of Ukraine.
I'm not sure, Brian, that I would describe what went on in Northern Ireland as a small...
I'm trying to give you an example of a comparison. That's all it is. The war went down above in Belfast. It didn't affect people down in Kerry. Like, the war going on in Ukraine, and yet they're still able to have soccer matches and Eurovisions and all of that. People are able to go, still, the country's still open for holiday makers. So it is not as bad as they're making out. People are just jumping on the bandwagon, go to Ireland, it's a free country, you're free living, everything is free.
And what are you making? What are you making of what's been happening with the open border between Northern Ireland and the South? And 80% of applicants are now coming through that border.
They should be. Every one of them should be just turned around and put back on the bus and go back to where you came from. Every single one, no exceptions.
And not to be interviewed or not to hear their case.
Not just gathered up, turned around. You try to jump the border of Mexico into the USA, see what happens. You try to jump the border of any other country in the world, see what happens. Why should Ireland be any exception? Like, you cannot get on an airplane anywhere in the world without a passport. But yet they seem to lose the passports on the plane when they come over to Ireland.
And the people who would argue that, you know, the Geneva Convention and various different...
The Geneva Convention, yes. What about the Irish people?
Yeah.
In the constitution of this country, it was supposed to be for homes for every single Irish person.
That's not actually in the constitution that there should be homes for Irish people.
Well, they're supposed to look after the Irish people, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're not doing their constitutional job. So the government should be actually arrested and charged for that, for not doing their constitutional work.
And, I mean, when it comes time to vote, I'm not asking you who you're voting for, but, I mean, will you vote for change in some way? And if you are, like, what kind
of change? The entire country is going to vote for change. The entire country is totally pissed off of, like, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. There's no comparison. They're not different parties anymore. They're just one party, different banner.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, they have sought out this country, something serious. And they're going so bad they don't even give a damn about them. And like, they actually know themselves they're not going to be re-elected this time. And that is why Micheál Martin is leaving the borders open just to flood the country. He's going to turn around and say, blame everything then on the next party, which probably will be Sinn Féin when they get in. The blame's always the cause, all of this, because we can fix it with the cause. That's what he's doing.
All right, and what you're saying to me, because it's an interesting job, a taxi driver, because you hear from so many different people, but you're hearing, this is the sort of thing you're hearing in your cab. Is that it, Brian?
It is, yeah.
All right. And every single day,
people are gone very, very bitter.
And are these like, ordinary people? These aren't people you would describe as being right-wing.
Down the road.
You wouldn't describe them as being right-wing or particularly political.
No, just the ordinary farmer, the ordinary housewife, the ordinary office worker, all that. They're going very bitter. And like when you hear of the place being burnt down because of the Ukrainians and the foreigners going in, the people are saying, yes, thank God.
Thank God.
You know what I mean? The people are going very bitter because they're taking way too much advantage of it.
All right. Brian, good to talk to you today, and thanks very much indeed for your time. That's Brian. That's what he's hearing in his cab. What do you make of that? 1800-938-007. The text and WhatsApp is 083-311-3311.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call Tip Today on 1-800-938-007.
And you're very welcome back to the programme. Now, Caroline says, somebody calling it as it is. He is correct. Anne says, I agree with your caller here in Thurles. Ukrainian children attending a local school. Some went home for Easter holiday. Forget the Geneva Convention, Fran, and goes on to give some advice as to what should be done. Well said to your caller. Somebody else saying the council will say they are not housing refugees over people on the housing list, but it is totally untrue. In Clonmel, there are a couple of new housing estates and refugees are living in them. So these people are only here a few years. I have family members on the housing list for many, many years. Indeed, more anti-immigrant nonsense on Tip FM. A man is murdered in Dublin due to the likes of Fran, it says, promoting nonsense. I'm not promoting anything, my friend. Not promoting anything at all. What we're doing is giving a platform to people to voice opinions, and we try and provide balance in those conversations in as best as we possibly can. 083-311-3311. Fran, I'm a postman. I agree with the taxi driver. That's what I'm hearing at the door every day, as well as Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and the Greens being finished. If what I'm hearing happens, is true. I love the show. Keep up the good work, it says there. Now, after listening to Brian talk to us there, Dave was in touch and joins me now. Good morning to you, Dave.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm well indeed. Good to talk to you today. You think there's a range of issues wrong with the political system at the moment, Dave. Is that it?
I think at the minute, probably our political system and the disconnect with the public is probably fracturing a lot, and it's fracturing over a lot of different issues, but comes back to kind of something that me and you spoke of before, but we didn't get to speak about it in depth. But this kind of disconnect between government, our leaders, and I suppose everyday people, lack of information, quelling disinformation, all of this kind of stuff, and it's given rise to more extreme views. People obviously have a right to their view and they have a right to their opinion, but I have an issue with extreme views taking hold, and then I also have an issue with the government not doing anything to try to stop that, you know?
And when they do try to stop that in some way, and I'm thinking of the policing of the protesting in Newtown Mount Kennedy, that can get out of hand as well, I suppose, Dave, and that's a danger, isn't it?
Yeah, you have people being attacked on all sides. So you've got, almost like daily reports now of politicians' homes being targeted. You have accounts of Dardaí being targeted. But then you have people being detained when they're supposed to be at a peaceful protest. And I know sometimes, we had the riots in Dublin.
Yeah.
And that got out of hand. That was a peaceful protest that turned based off what happened to those children. And I suppose tempers were high and feelings were high at the time, and that's what had caused that. But it had changed then into a racist rally, as opposed to being about that young girl and about wanting more secure policing and wanting more.
And that is the danger, Dave, isn't it, really? You know, where the extremists are coming on board and they're infiltrating, ordinary people who are protesting with justifiable concerns. And then they're allowing people who want to throw out the terms of racist and fascist and all of that as a sort of a blanket to anybody who's protesting.
Yeah, I see this happening a lot lately, and it's been discussed even in my own work and even within my own family, like somebody who has concerns over people being housed on the housing list or wanting their child to be seen promptly in a hospital in healthcare, not necessarily above people who need it more, but they're not racist concerns. I wouldn't consider any of those concerns racist. But if you see, like, for example, there's like meant to be 81 or 82 modular homes meant to be built in Clonmel, okay? I've no issue with modular homes being built. I'll even go as far as to say I've no issue with international protection applicants being housed.
Yeah.
What I have an issue with is, why didn't the council decide, right, we'll make half of them for international protection applicants and half for Irish people?
Absolutely.
Why do they all have to be for international protection applicants? Because what that does is it draws negative attention.
It does, and it ghettoises a group of people then, doesn't it?
That particular modular area, when it's built, isn't going to be integrated in any way. If anything, it's going to stand out. Had other Irish people been housed there, or had other people of different nationalities been housed with the international protection applicants, they would actually be integrated more into the community.
Great, great point. And the kids would be out playing together. And, you know, that in itself would help greatly with integration, wouldn't it? You know,
correct. Because even the new housing estate, Fran, that was built in Clonmel, I've no shame in saying my brother got a house in that new estate in Clonmel, in Glenconner Hill.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful estate, stunning white estate. Looks like something else, is Greece or Cyprus.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fabulous. And there's people there from Ireland, there's people there from Syria. There's even travellers living there as well.
Yeah.
And everyone gets along. But what I don't understand and what I find very hard to believe is the council decided, right, we're going to house these 81 people, put them into this block, and like you said, it ghettoises that area.
Yeah.
And you've got Irish people getting angry because they're on the housing list for 8, 9, 10 even, dare I say it, 12 and maybe even 13 and 14 years. I'm on the housing list down in Waterford. And I'm on the housing list with nearly six years.
Are you? Right.
And haven't got a whisper of a home or been told that I'll get a home anytime soon. And I would be very lucky if I do get a home of any description, even if it was a one bed, you know. And it can be very frustrating. It can be very infuriating for lay people to see these kinds of things happening.
Yeah, and you see, the conversation we're having here is very reasonable, and I think it reflects a lot of what people are thinking out there. But what about the people who are getting onto us here and say, making the point, we shouldn't be having these conversations, Dave?
The issue is, right, we live in a democracy. So if we live in a democracy, and if we're going to listen to everybody's view, which is what we're meant to do, you don't tell people that they can't talk. Mm. And you don't tell people that they can't speak. Like I said earlier, I'm not racist. I don't have an issue with international protection applicants.
Mm.
Never have.
Mm.
I've no issue with people from a different nationality. My own boyfriend is Italian.
Mm.
I'm a gay man myself. I come from a minority myself. It doesn't mean that people can't talk, and it doesn't mean that people can't see what's happening on the ground. If you see certain sections of society getting prioritised over others, people are going to speak out, and people are going to see that. If you see an article saying that 81 homes for international protection applicants are going to be built, what about the people that are on the housing list?
Mm.
And it still doesn't answer the question, why don't you integrate them properly? Why don't you have half of them for refugees and half of them for Irish people or people from an EU or a non-EU background? Why does the entire area have to be ghettoised? Because you're not integrating them properly. You're not assimilating them properly into the community at all. And that particular area, for that particular housing development, I can actually see issues developing based off where it's actually located. And that's all I will say that, and a lot.
Well, I think you're referencing the fact that there's for generations there's a traveller encampment there as well. Is that what you're making reference to?
Yeah, I could see particular issues arising from, not from any particular one section at all. I'm not naming anyone or saying anyone's going to cause trouble, but I'm just saying an area of 81 refugees. Besides a traveller encampment, and then obviously extreme feeling then that exists, not just in Clonmel but in the country at large, I can see something happening if that development goes ahead.
It's interesting. The other thing we're getting in here, Dave, and I know you tune in every so often, but the other thing that we're getting in here as well is that if Irish people were able to see that the government would have the kind of vision that they show where the modular homes are concerned, for example, and being able to develop them on a site very quickly. If they could see that vision in terms of looking after Indigenous Irish people, they'd applaud a government. Do you know what I mean? If they could cut through red tape and cut through bureaucracy and house people, for example, in general.
But it's not. I would applaud them. Not even a Fianna Fáil and a Fine Gael supporter.
Yeah.
I'm a Sinn Féin supporter. But if I saw them, you know, cutting rents, like meaningfully cutting rents, I would go, fair play. If I saw them properly trying to integrate refugees, I would go, actually, do you know what? That's a good idea. Yeah. Fair play.
Yeah.
Hats off. If I saw them really genuinely building affordable homes and homes that people could actually afford, not be saddled with debt into their 60s and their 70s, then I would go, do you know what? Well done. But they're not doing that, Fran. You know what I mean? And people might say to me, oh, but you're saying that because you're populist, you support Sinn Féin. No, it's not. I'm actually happy to say I'm part of a party that believes housing can be fixed, that you can actually build proper, affordable homes. Like, my mum and stuff, back in their day, and my grandmother would have got homes for far less, and they were building a lot more homes back in the 80s and the 70s and the 90s.
But the local authorities essentially were building those council houses at the time, and God knows we benefited from that ourselves, you know. So it's an interesting one, Dave, and thanks very much indeed for coming on with us today. You've certainly generated a lot of text and WhatsApp here, that's for sure. Look after yourself, Dave. Gurmila Mahagut. Thank you.
You too, Fran.
Thank you. Bye-bye to you now. Good morning, Fran. Would you wish an injured lady working at Kilcreen Hospital in Kilkenny very well? It was kept out of the media, but she was attacked. And somebody gives me some detail there that obviously I don't have confirmation of, but of course we wish her well and thank you for that. Obviously, your caller was listening in last week when I sent in the comment to you about building the modular homes. Not just to you to house Ukrainian refugees, but Irish people as well, and to integrate them. Indeed, you did make that point, and thank you for that as well. Might go for election myself, Fran. The country needs a sorting. Stop all these coming in. Only those who are an addition to the country with papers. Laws need changing. Solicitors need to be put to work, making sure there's no loopholes, etc. Nobody should get in without a passport, says one of our listeners. Now, as you know, not only is today the very first day of May 1st, it is also the kickoff of the summer season. But what you may not know is that last night was the witching night. And our Leanne is with me now. I didn't know anything about this until you told us this morning. Leanne, good morning to you.
Good morning.
The witching night.
Yeah.
Expand on this for me, please.
Well, it's an Irish tradition. There's ties of it all around the world, but in Ireland specifically, it's a tradition that on the 30th of April, before you go to sleep, you should bless the windows and doors outside your house. So it comes from folklore that all the witches meet up on April 30th and they fly over in the skies at night. And if you have your house blessed, they will stay away from your house. So it seems to come from ancient times when obviously the start of May was huge for crops and animals. So the thing was that the witches were out up to no good on April 30th.
So this is pre-Christian in a lot of it, probably pagan, is it, in terms of its genesis?
It seems to tie in. Originally, it probably would have been Celtic or pagan, coming from obviously Beowulf, the tradition where all of their animals would have been brought through the fields start of May. So they used to burn two bonfires. So now in Christian times, it seemed to move forward as well to where it's actually blessing with holy water.
Right. So tell me about you last night and your family.
So last night, I cannot sleep on April 30th unless it's done. And I think it's such a thing.
Are you serious about this?
No, I can't. I think, though, it's more of a thing of I've heard the story since I was a child. And I remember being small and like, almost like when Santa's coming, you're listening for the reindeers. I was listening for the witches when I was like small, like, and I, oh my God, I cannot sleep unless this is done. And I remember one night I forgot to do it and I got up and I was like, no, it has to be done. I cannot sleep.
So tell me what exactly you do.
So you bless the witches. So I'd go out
with holy water.
With holy water. So you'd bless each window and door before you go to sleep so that any bad energy or bad luck that's crossing over doesn't touch your house. And so I'd say if my neighbours looked out the window last night, now they would have thought I was absolutely nuts, but I slept well after, so it was fine.
Very good. So yeah, and is there a particular prayer that you would recite, or, you know, what do? You just bless it with the holy water?
Yeah, just bless it in the shape of a cross. I don't think it really, for me, it's more down to superstition and tradition. It's a story I would have always heard growing up, and it's something now that just kind of has moved forward with me, that I know on April 30th the witches are coming to get me, so I have to be prepared.
There is an international angle to this, and in fact it's sort of referred to in literature and the like. Will you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so it'll be Valpurgis Day. So it would have started in Germany. That would have been their tradition. So they would have believed that on the 30th of April, all the witches would meet up the Brocken, which was the tallest peak of the German Harz Mountains. So this is really taken on by composers and writers. So you can see it in lots of their pieces where they actually, April 30th is kind of this twisted day where things seem to go wrong or normal numbers are changed. And I think it's something that, again, with tradition, it's really spread into their literature, where it's kind of like, on this day, things just aren't how they usually would be.
Wow, isn't it incredible? And just pronounce that for me. It's Walpurgis Night. Is it Walpurgis Night?
Walpurgis Night.
Val, of course, it's a V-E-L because it's German. Very interesting. And bonfires and the like as well?
Yeah, that really ties into the Irish, Celtic and pagan side of Beltane, where they'd have the fires on the hilltops. So that actually has seemed to come back in the last few years, especially in Athlone, where Ireland went up to that mountain where you're meant to be able to see all parts of Ireland. So they've actually been holding festivals up there for the last few years. Around May 6th, where they'll actually light the bonfires and have traditional Celtic music or pagan music. It seems to not be going ahead the last year or two because of obviously the damage that the bonfires were doing to the mountains.
Yes, of course, yeah.
But a lot of young people are kind of in this thing again with social media, retracing their roots and owning their heritage. People seem to actually do be going back to having bonfires and music and stuff around the beginning of May.
And of course, Beltane now is a huge festival here in this country, and celebrating the arts and celebrating older people and the like as well. What you're talking to me about, though, sounds more like Halloween than the 1st of May.
Yeah, it really is tied in with Halloween traditions. Obviously, Halloween actually started in Ireland as well with a similar thing of put out the turnips and stop the spirits. So it kind of seems massive in Ireland, an Irish tradition where we had this deep connection with folklore and fairies and spirits and all these things, where people are actually very afraid of it, and they've come up with these superstitions to try and avoid anything interfering with them.
Fran, is it still a tradition on May Eve in Tipperary and other areas around it, the farmers bless each corner of each field with Easter water to protect the animals throughout the year? Is there still an element of that?
Yeah, the Easter water especially comes in massive as you move into May. A lot of people do utilise it for things like that. I have heard of that still going ahead, and for people even blessing barns where they know that animals are going to be bred and stuff like that.
Right. Thomas says, Fran, you think there's enough witches in the Doyle at the moment? And it goes on to say some more, and should they're wondering, would you go and bless the Doyle actually at the moment with the way things are going there? You're very young to be involved. I thought this was the kind of people my age would be kind of into this, and you're really into all this stuff, aren't you?
Yeah, I'd be very superstitious, I suppose. With my family, I would have always grown up sitting around the fire, sitting around the Stanley, telling old stories. My granddad always has a story for us. So I think that when you're in that kind of the culture and you're proud of your culture, these things kind of stick with you. I suppose I'd have held a lot of superstitions and little stories when I was younger.
That's a nice idea. Let's put it out to listeners out there. What about tradition that you might still be holding close to you around May 1st and the like. There's something about the dew as well, is there? The May morning dew.
Oh yeah, you wash your face. Yeah, to keep you looking well, yeah.
I missed that this morning, actually, which is a pity, but there you go. All right, then, if you want to talk to Leanne about these things, because it's of great interest to her, it's 1800 938 007. And, of course, you can text and WhatsApp your experiences to us on 083 311 3311, and we'll see what the what comes up on that. The notion of mischief as well with these creatures or these witches and stuff, they're mischievous, are they, more than evil?
Yeah, it's just you don't, I suppose in traditional folklore, you don't interfere. You don't, if you see a fairy ring, you don't go near it. If you see trees in a circle, you don't touch them. It's more of a thing of, people are kind of afraid of what they come back and do.
I'm scared now. Thanks, Leanne. News and information's coming up.
Tip today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. You can't beat experience. With over 50 years maintaining Peugeot cars and vans, we like to call ourselves the experts. Call Slattery's Garage for a free vehicle health check today. 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.
Tip today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. Your Peugeot car or van might benefit from a free software upgrade. For more information and to find out if this applies to your vehicle, call the lads in Slattery's Garage, puck on 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.
Welcome back to the final hour of Tip Today, 1800 938 007. Now, Paul Lafford was on, and Paul says, when we were going to Russia back in 2007, the thing you need is a visa. You have to apply to the Russian embassy and collect your passport in person. Once you get on a plane, you fill out immigration documents. You give them with your passport to the flight crew. Everything is checked mid-flight, and the authorities at the other end are notified. Once you clear immigration in Russia, which is a fair achievement in itself, you hand over your passport at your hotel, where the authorities are notified of your whereabouts. If you attempted to arrive in Russia without documentation, being sent home would be the least of your worries. The exact same principle applies to most countries, except here, we're being taken for fools, says Paul on 083 311 3311. All right, lots more coming in around superstitions and the like, and that's something we will get back to tomorrow, possibly, on the programme. But right now it's time for a Garda slot, and I'm delighted to be joined live in studio by Carol O'Leary, who's Sergeant in Charge of Care Garda Station. Good morning to you, Carol.
Good morning, Fran.
And nice to see you today. We're going to start, I think, with burglaries and theft, and we're going to go to Tipperary Town.
There was, in Tipperary Town, across the county, there's been quite a few break-ins to cars, but we'll start with the first one, which was in Tip Town on the Cashel Road area on the 25th and the 26th of April, between 6 o'clock on the 25th and 8 o'clock on the 26th. A number of DeWalt power tools. They're quite distinctive in their colouring and, again, quite popular and quite good value. But if you're being offered one in unusual circumstances, or if you see anyone using it, please contact Tip Town Garda Station. And again, we're urging people throughout this to just make sure your car, your van, it's clear of all property before you go in for the end of the day, before you go in for the night.
Of course, because they're on the prowl, they're on the lookout, and more tools taken, I think, around the same time, in
around
fact, from another area of the town.
Possibly linked. Again, this was between 9 and 10 on the 26th of April. There was power tools, a mix of them this time, nothing too distinctive. A van was parked in the Marion Terrace area of Tip Town, and again was broken into. That's a huge loss to people that were going to work.
Yeah.
Huge amount of effort and time to replace those. So if you have anything, or if you've seen anything, please give Tip Town or any Garda Station a shout.
What was taken, Carol, around the Isle area of Keppa White? What is that?
A log splitter. Again, for the farmers and the hard working men of women of the county who'll get calluses on their hands. Log splitter. It's a big enough
beast of equipment,
thing.
Yeah.
To cut logs, it just makes it handier for storing them and getting them easier. Between the 12th and the 27th, so quite a long period of time, but it was taken from a farmyard in the Isle area of Capel White. So if you've been offered one, or if you've seen one, it's not something that would have been transported easily. You can't just throw it into the back of the car. So if you saw anything unusual between those, that time frame, please.
And again, if one is up for sale in unusual circumstances.
Yes, or if you've offered them.
Maybe you should alert the Gardaí to that. The next story is one we heard about on the programme as well. Would you tell us about that, the water pump being stolen?
The very distinctive ornamental water pipe there, taken from the Ballyhumuck area in Clannine. The water pipe was at the location for over 100 years. Very historical, very something that people are proud of to have in their area. And it would have taken time to take that and to remove that. So anyone who saw anything, any cars not in the area, if you have dash cam, That's a fantastic resource for us. So anything around the 20th of April to the 22nd, no matter how small, it can be a jigsaw piece that will just finish it off for us and get the final...
Councillor Mark Fitzgerald was telling me that, you know, the way it was bolted into the ground, it would have been an enormous job.
It would have been there for some time to take it. It wasn't just a case of pulling up and throwing it into the back of a trailer. This would have been a bit of time. So that's why we're sure that somebody saw someone or something in that area around that time. And you would, it's well known in the area, anyone would have seen it.
What was taken in Clonmel?
Clonmel, there was a load of change, something small, but people do tend to leave just whatever coins you have now that we're back in cash mode. And on the 21st and the 22nd, the Mountain View Elm Park area of Clonmel, there was a car ransacked and again, change taken. Unfortunately, in this case, the vehicle wasn't locked. The car wasn't locked. So when you are going into, I don't know if you're in the habit of locking your car every time you get out of it.
Oh, am I blushing now?
You know,
when I go to garages, I don't tend to always lock the car, and I should, shouldn't I?
You really should. Yeah. I'm a dinger for it. My husband has a car that doesn't have central locking. Right. So anytime I'm driving his car, it's a chore to go back. But I do it because it's something that can be so simple and so quick and it's gone.
Of course. And you come across this all the time where...
It's so common. So common, unfortunately.
Let's go to West Tipperary then for another break-in into cars.
Yeah, two more cars. Now, there's a good news related outcome coming up later. I'll mention it in a second. But this relates to the 15th of April where there was two cars broken into in the Emly area. Quantity of cash and bank cards. Tipperary Gardaí are appealing. It's unusual and it would be strange for the bank cards to be used, but with the tap facility, they can get a bit of money out of it, they can get a bit of shopping done with it, and then it's obviously blocked because you have to put in their PIN. So if you have one, again, don't leave it in the car. Don't leave it.
And speaking of the car in your own area of care, what happened there? More incidents?
More, unfortunately, two handbags. And again, we'll say it's primarily the females of the species that are responsible for carrying those around. But on the 19th and 20th, there was handbags left in cars and unfortunately taken. It's about getting into the habit of locking the car as you're going to the garage or taking it with you. Even as I parked up outside here today, checked, I had nothing clear. There's a bit of documentation in the front, no one's going to steal that. But it is just a quick scan of the car. You'll have something thrown in behind, just getting into the habit of it.
Well, and particularly where handbags or briefcases or computers are concerned, put them in the boot.
Put them in the boot before you pull up and park up if you're going there, so that people don't see you doing it.
Let's have a look at seizures around the county and Tipperary, first of all. I think it began in Tipperary, ended up in Nenagh Court. Is that it?
It appeared before Nenagh again. They're the same court area. Two counts of under the Drugs Act for sale and supply. Again, serious offence, serious consequences before the courts. But this was in relation to a search that was carried out and over 60,000 Xanax and clonazepam tablets were seized at an address in Tipperary on the 24th. Street value of that. Now, they'll always say that we overestimate, but you're looking at over €120,000 worth of drugs taken off the streets there by the lads from the drugs unit across Tipperary South. Great work done from them. A man was charged before Nenagh Court on the 26th and we're waiting for analysis, but a great seizure. But just goes to show there is a huge amount, but there's also a huge amount being done by the guards around the county. But that was just one example there from Tipperary last week.
You made an arrest in care.
There was still the same old message going out about drunk driving. In this case, Gardaí Care arrested a drunk driver who was reported after seeing him driving around the town and driving not stopping at stop signs. Small gesture, but could be quite serious for people going at it. There was cannabis found in the car. He will be before the courts. And it's the same road message in relation to that. Never ever drive under it. There's a great new campaign where they're encouraging people to challenge driver behaviour. So if you're in a car with someone, if you feel they're driving too fast, if you feel they're under the influence that they've been drinking, say it.
Yes.
For your safety and for everybody else. You don't want to be the person where something happens and you're thinking, I should have said something to them. I should have asked them to slow down. I should have asked them to not get in the car that day.
Of course, yeah. I'm sorry if I appear to be smiling there, but it's just that I'm the worst passenger in the whole world when I'm not in control and I'm giving instructions. Slow down. Do you not see that? Do you see that? Look.
Oh, my parents are the same. Anytime whoever wasn't driving, you're too fast. Slow down. I'm not. You are. You know. Journeys were entertaining on the way.
Oh, I know, yeah. But there is that new campaign out there, Carol. Anyway.
There is. Yeah. Very important.
Yeah. Let us look at some good news then. And again, another arrest. Will you tell me about this?
I suppose the car that's been broken into has been quite problematic for us, but there have been arrests made. On the 21st of April at 2 o'clock, there was a man arrested. He was taken to court and he's been let out on bail with very strict conditions. So I suppose the cars are being targeted more so than houses. Security has been locked down they don't tend to break into houses during the night, but the cars are parked outside and they can see what they get from them. But they are being arrested. They are out and about. And in this case, he was arrested 2 o'clock in the morning while everybody slept soundly at their beds.
Very good. There was another arrest then.
There was, in this case, in from Clonmel, there was two cars broken into where the windows were broken, costing over €1,000 between the two of them.
Wow.
A man, again, was found in possession of property that had been taken from the cars, direct link back to him. So he also has been charged and it's making its way through the court.
Now, there's an event happening on Sunday. You have some advice for people?
There is Clonmel, the Veteran Vintage and Classic Car Club, are holding a static car show in Powerstown Park this Sunday, starting at 10 o'clock. There'll be a lot of motorists, there'll be a lot of pedestrians, and we're just urging people to take care, especially with the vintage cars. They tend to be a little bit slower, like all of us at this stage. Just give them the time on the road, let them pass. They're getting there. We're all just want to get where we're going to safely along the way. So please, give them their time and watch out for the volumes around.
That's for sure. You have some advice for people, Carol, and I suppose farming to begin with. And
farming. Yeah. Beautiful weather's improving. It's the time of year, summer holidays. Schools are starting to wrap up for the summer. We'll know there'll be young drivers out helping out on tractors. And if you have a child or if you know a grandchild who's going to be helping out, now's the time to have a word with them. It's great to see them helping. But at the same time, the kind of rush of blood to the head when they're driving a massively high power tractor can be problematic. So just have the conversation before they start, just to be aware there's a lot of people on the road, pedestrians, cyclists, everyone's there, and just take a time, be cautious, whatever way you're getting around.
Stay off the bloody phones as while they're driving. Fraud is always a conversation piece, Carol. You were in attendance at some meeting in Carrick, was it?
We did. Gardaí from Thurles and Clonmel went to a fraud awareness talk in Carrick on Shore in conjunction with Bank of Ireland. And it's still the case, people are still clicking on links and clicking on scams. Gardaí and Care went to a recent event with the lovely women from the ICA over there, and again, after a big plea with them to kind of don't click, don't link, someone asked, well, if I get a message and it says click on the link, am I okay to click on the link? No, just delete. But they're getting very good at them. But again, it's just always err on the side of caution.
Yeah, it's so sophisticated now. I mean, it's very easy to be taken in.
As I always say, that's their job.
Yeah.
They're making money from it, so they're professionals. They'll do their best to change it. And the other thing to mention is, coming into the summer, if you have any community groups, we're always ready and available and more than happy to go and talk to people and offer advice. It's an opportunity for people to ask the questions they've always wanted to ask. There's no question ever too stupid or too curious. I love the more bizarre ones because people genuinely want to know. So if you have a community group, if you have a school group, youth group, contact your local Garda station. We're more than happy to go out and help. We'll also, this month, across the county, but particularly down south, the community engagement van or bus, it's like a portable Garda station, that'll be out and about, so keep an eye out for us and advertise and promote.
I saw some videos, it's very impressive actually.
It's very good.
Yeah.
So we'll pick the random stations or places around the place that don't have stations.
Well, you'll be welcome in any Carty anytime. Nina Gardaí as well, they're hosting that property marketing event. So what's the story around
it's
that?
It's a hugely popular property event at Arabon Home Value Tyone Nina today. Between 2:30 and 3:30, they'll be busy. If you want any property marked, if you can bring the property, they can mark it. So anything particular of value, like trailers, chainsaws, power tools, bicycles, lawnmowers coming into the summer, they'll all be out and about. And if you have it marked with your air code, everybody knows their air code at this stage. Everybody has an air code. It's a simple way of not preventing it, but if it is taken, it's a simpler way of us returning it to its rightful property.
Is this free?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
You're welcome to bring coffee and buns to the crew that are doing it, but no, there's no charge. No charge. And that'll be more and more. I know Ard Finan are having 2 days of property marking now and this month as well. So it's a great thing. And again, it's just about getting out and helping people help us do our little bit for it.
All right. So from 12:30 until 3:30.
Whatever you have, Fran, pack it in the car. Take it up to them.
I'd be bringing a ton of stuff with me. Before I let you go, I have to ask you about superstitions, because when you came in, you were telling me about, you're from West Cork.
West Cork.
Carl? Yeah. And particular superstitions down around there?
We have, it's, again, if I gave 10 minutes, I could think a load of them, but honeysuckle is the one that I struck as we were discussing the Mayflower coming in. Honeysuckle, you will do not dare darken the door of my house.
Why?
I don't know.
Right.
If someone knows the answer, please. Right.
But honeysuckle is...
Honeysuckle, the flower itself, smells beautiful. My father would smell it when it came out on the strides of the roads, but don't you dare bring it into the house. There's some, I don't know, does it bring death or something with it? He's loads.
Wow.
And butterflies landing on people.
What about butterflies? Because this happens to me all the time. Go on, tell me.
Oh no, butterflies are a sign of death, apparently.
Oh,
my grandaunt, who was a teacher, had stories that she was at home, there was a woman dying, it was the middle of winter and a butterfly flew in the window, landed on the lady's forehead, flew out and the lady died. So my father is convinced now that butterflies are also a sign of death.
Oh my God.
But just don't
my...
let them land on you, friend. You'll be fine. Just don't let them land on you.
But I play music and there's a place called Bally Edmund in Wexford. And I was playing a gig there one night and a butterfly landed on the keyboard and stayed on the keyboard. But here's the best thing. A couple of months later, we went back to play. Another butterfly landed.
Oh, wow.
On the keyboard. Now, luckily, I'm still around to tell the tale.
Oh, my father would be thinking somebody died. Somebody that you knew died around that time.
Oh, God, I better start thinking about that now. Carol, it's great. It's great to see you, Carol. Thanks very much indeed for that. That's Sergeant Carol O'Leary, expert in all things criminal, but of course in pishoguery as well.
Random
stuff. We'll take a break. Thanks, Carol. Back in just a moment.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Now, listen around to say marry in May, rue the day, Fran, but we got married in May and we're still together 46 years later. So there you go. My car is 8 years old and automatically locks itself when I walk away from it. There's posh for you. See, I have an old banger, you see, so it doesn't do that, I'm afraid. John was on from Nina and he says, Fran, those contributors to your program who are critical of the government completely ignore all of the positive things that are happening. For example, the fact we have full employment with record numbers at work and that the country's finances are in a healthy state, etc. Yet there are problems in relation to the health service and housing, but good progress is being made in these areas too. Those who can't wait to change the government should be careful what they wish for, and I'm convinced that when the electorate come to make a decision in 10 months' time, they'll think twice about handing over power to an inexperienced and unproven group who have many questions to answer about their past as well as their future plans, says John in Nina. And I'm sure that contribution would have many people jumping up and down with anger, but it's John's opinion, and we're very happy to read that out. Now, Monday night's Fine Gael convention in Cashel was branded as a political earthquake, and if you were listening to the programme yesterday, you would have gotten all of the detail. It followed members' decision, of course, to select Councillor Michael Murphy as the next general election candidate for the new constituency of Tipperary South. Now, some suggested that the move was the grassroots putting two fingers up to party HQ. Former Fine Gael member John Helly joins me now. John, good morning to you.
Good morning, Frank. Before we start this, I was just listening to about the Pishogues.
Yes.
I worked for, as you know, for many years in the hospital.
Yeah.
And it used to be my roster on night duties nearly always fall on May Eve. And poor Sister Stella, seen a lot of mercy on. Every night I come on May Eve, I had to have, she'd a bottle of water out for me. And she used to mix the Easter water with Lourdes water and Knock water. And I had to go around and bless the whole place before 12 o'clock.
Wow.
Yeah. And if I didn't, there'd be hell for leather the morning after. And then I think it kind of, I kept it going for a good while. And then, as we say, Cashel came over and I was listening to Peter the other day and wished Peter the best of luck in his retirement.
Yes, Peter Fitzell.
I'm enjoying my retirement. But we used to do that inside. And it used to be, actually, they used to be laughing at me going around with the holy water bottle and all the wards and everything. But on a serious side of this, last May Eve, I didn't get to bless my place at home. And since I didn't bless it, I forgot completely. We've had a terrible 6 months up to last Christmas.
My God.
It just came to me that, so by God, I went out last night and I baptized the whole place.
I'll bet you did. And remembered Sister Celestine as well, I presume. John, are you on a hands-free? Because you, the sound... Okay, could you disconnect?
Turn
or could
off
you?
The radio.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, no problem.
All right.
Yo, can you hear me now?
Let me just check that with you now. God, we're having a day of pishogri. Maybe we should have blessed everything here last night, maybe as well. Can you hear us now, John?
I can hear you perfect, friend, yeah.
Okay, that's a good bit better at this point, John. So, what do you think is going on where Fine Gael is concerned? Am I right in describing you as a former member, John?
I'm a former member, yeah. I was a member up to 2 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I kind of got very disillusioned with what was going on. I think it has been disillusional since Leo Bradford took it over. That was my honest opinion. I believe that we moved way too fast. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, I would be probably more conservative in the Fine Gael wing at the time.
Yeah.
Even though I did vote, follow the party line regarding the certain liberalisations of the setup. Like, you know, I would have went with the marriage.
Gay marriage and, yeah.
Like, you know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion and their own beliefs. Was Fine Gael were probably, well, Fine Gael, like, were the first sort of far-right party, as you well know. We discussed that before. You know, they've come a long way.
From O'Duffy and all of that. Do you think, I mean, Simon Harris is now talking about reverting back to
I think Simon Harris... Yeah. Has failed already.
Do you think so? Why do you say that?
Just look at Helen McEntee.
He should have got rid of her, should he?
Should have, yeah. There's no doubt about that. And I think it was a bad day that he didn't. And I don't mean that because she's a woman or anything. It's just that she's not capable of the job. I do believe that Heather Humphreys should be actually there. I think that she is the... He would... You know, I mean, Matthew McGrath is right about one thing. They seem to be driving a wedge between the Garda Síochána and the ordinary people. You're on the radio every day, friend. I'm listening to you most days. I was up the west last week, and I was listening to local radio up there. It's the exact same problems in Mayo and Sligo and Leitrim and Roscommon that we have in South Tipperary and North Tipperary.
And why do you think that? Well, it certainly is the perception that the government isn't listening to ordinary people, John.
No, they're not listening. They're not. Like, I mean, you just look at it, right? Take this new town, Kendy, King above and Wicklow. Like, they're just not listening. They're just not. Like, I've met a couple of candidates who are out on the ground and they'll tell you, oh, I haven't heard that about immigration. But the thing about it is, there's young people living in Clonmel, Tipperary, Cashel and Kerr who are working, who can't get a house because they're under the impression that the Ukrainians and the other people are getting houses. We have 80-something module houses going up in Clonmel, right, or supposed to be going up.
Yeah.
If they even said, look, we're going to give 50 of them to locals and 50 of them to... It wouldn't be a problem.
Mm.
But you see, there's no connect. Now, I'm not so much blaming Fine Gael as I'm blaming the whole three parties.
Well, it's a coalition government. It's Fianna Fáil and the Greens as well. Yeah.
And I know that Michael Murphy won the other night.
Mm.
And I think that was always going to happen within Fine Gael. Because Michael Murphy is a very well-liked councillor. He's extremely popular in Clonmel, which would count now that South Tipperary is going to be a separate constituency.
Yeah.
Clonmel has the biggest force. And I know you say Gareth Ahern is based in Clonmel, but a lot of rural voters in Fine Gael have kind of lost faith in Fine Gael itself because of their antics with the Greens. Like, the Greens are getting away with murder. You know, they've only 11 seats, they've 8 cabinet positions. That shouldn't happen.
And you think the green ideology is
being
imposed on this government? But of course, I mean, on any government now, you're going to have that ideology coming from Europe anyway, John. So to any government will be influenced by that, you know?
Well, you see, this is where you have to say, like, you know, Sinn Féin are saying, like, about the European Pact, that, you know, that we should pick parts of it and get rid of parts of it. And yes, we do have an opt-out clause. And maybe we should deal with it ourselves. Like, the English are actually telling us to shag off, like, you know, about 15 last
Well, they're going into a cycle of elections as well. So they're going to play tough on this,
Of course they are. But, like, they have no interest in, like, their mandate is they don't want migrants in their country. So they're bringing in the law for the royal consent for Rwanda, right? Maybe we ourselves should be talking about it. But if I start talking and saying to you, oh, friend, we should be bringing, we should be sending people to X, Y, and Z, I'm cast straight away as a racist. It was interesting to listen to Paul Lafferty, the piece you said there about Paul. Like, Paul is a gentleman, and he's well, you know, he'd be well spoken.
Smart fellow.
He's probably right, like, you know, I mean, he is right. They have lost. Every government should have a common touch, you know, but this government seems to have no common touch.
And did you not think there was a bit of sort of acknowledging that when Simon Harris took over? That
I think no one else wanted it.
Do you not think so? Yeah.
Oh, definitely. I mean, let's be honest about it. Simon Harris, a good minister, maybe. He was disastrous health, but sure, who wasn't disastrous? I remember Brian Cowan describing health as Beirut. I worked
the Angola, I think he said it was the Angola.
Like, you know, I could tell you, I worked in the health system, and I could tell you that, like, the ordinary staff, the domestics, the porters, the nursing staff, they didn't, like, I think it was really brought out the other day in the in Limerick, in the with that young girl's case, you know.
I mean, Aoife Johnson,
consultants are kings. You know, consultants, they run the show.
And is that your experience?
That's my experience, yeah, always was. Like, you know, I mean, you call in a consultant at the weekend. I left there earlier this year. They were saying, oh, they're going to make consultants work the weekend.
Yeah.
Best of luck to them with that one, you know.
You don't think it'll work out?
Not at all.
Well, let me ask you, John, because nobody seems to ask people with experience of working within the system itself. What would you do to, I mean, if you take what's happening in UHL, I mean, with chronic overcrowding, they're sending in some sort of a crack team there now to do something about this.
Yeah, they might have sent in now, you know, shift the dog, you know, I'll be honest with you, because, like, let's be honest, but that's gone out of control. The person to blame for that is Mary Harney.
The Centre of Excellence idea, is it?
Well, not that, the Hanley report. Mary Harney took that on board as part of the PD policy. And that was that. They closed Nina, they closed without Nina any services. That's well known, that is the thing. They left the getting out of control. Different health ministers, including three former Taoiseach, at present day Taoiseach, Mr. Varadkar, Mr. Martin. They were all there, you know.
But like, is it more about the HSE than the individual ministers over the years? Because, in fairness to them, whatever you might think of some of the characters you're mentioning there, you know, some of the brightest and best, including the current Taoiseach, had a shot at this, and it's never worked out.
No, and I'll tell you why. Because the day they broke up the Southeastern Health Board and put it in, like, I know in the Midwest there, like, you know, you had... They broke up all them boards. They took off county councillors off them. They put in all these high-ranking, high officials on 330,000 a year and 250,000 a year, and all they were doing was pen-pushing.
Yeah, but of course we were told at the time, John, that there was much too much influence from the politicians on the health boards, and that's...
Yeah, well, the politician, the county councillor, is the person that knows. He's the fella that's sitting in a pub every night or most nights listening to his constituents.
Yeah.
He's reporting back to his TD, who's getting his input. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. Like, you have Matthew McGrath. Think what you like of him. He's a popular man, and he's unpopular in certain aspects, especially in Dáil Éireann, right? But Matthew McGrath has his finger on the pulse in South Tipperary.
I think the others have their finger on the pulse as well. But of course, there's the party whip to keep in mind.
Yeah, but you see, there was a lot of fellas went with the party whip and still they got their, still they were able to, do things. Like Michael Lowry had no party whip and still he got the whole hospital blowing Clonmel soft, didn't he?
What are you saying to me then around this then, John?
I think a lot of these independents that voted for Harris in the last election, or in the last Taoiseach thing, I think they probably did something that we're not being told about. But I know Michael Lowry was upfront about it, and he said that he put certain things there about the hospital and small business interests. I don't see anything happening yet. Like Stephen Donnelly arrived down there, and he kind of, promised him the sun, the moon, and the stairs. If you look back 4 or 5 years ago, Stephen Donnelly was on the Vincent Brown show and he was having a go at the then Minister for Health, the present Taoiseach.
Yeah, I remember.
There was a vote of no confidence in the present Taoiseach.
Yeah.
And I think Simon Harris, look, he's probably a genuine man. I met him a couple of times. I canvassed with him in Clonmel the time of the European elections that he ran back in 2010 or 12, I can't remember now. But, I'm sure he's a lovely person. I'm sure Helen McEntee is a lovely person. But you have to ask yourself, friend, and everyone who... Like, there's a lot of people like me out there who are retired members, gone from Fine Gael. I wouldn't say we're gone. We're just not happy with the way it went, And a lot of us are probably there for the take. But a lot of things happened the last 3.5 years that weren't Fine Gael.
Tell me some of those things.
I mean, the carry-on with Kate O'Connell above in the by-election.
Mm.
She was the natural choice.
But she's embraced back into the party now, isn't she?
She's embraced back into it, and I'm delighted that she is, because she's a good person. Michael Murphy himself, the last time he ran for election, the headquarters kind of had decided Tom Hayes was going to be the main candidate, and that was it. And, he got a massive vote that time. And I think that it was a pity he didn't run when Tom Hayes retired, because then I think we would have kept our seats. I know Tom Hayes lost the election, but I think that, in the last election he should have run. I don't know, but
are you saying that the strategy is wrong at times?
The strategy from headquarters. It's not in the county.
And let me go back then to my opening remarks before you came on with me, John, which is that, what happened with Michael Murphy being decided on, was that two fingers up to HQ from the grassroots, do you think?
I was surprised it wasn't a bigger margin.
Yeah, because it wasn't a huge margin. What was it? About 30 votes, 30-something votes of a margin, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it would be a bigger margin, I have to admit.
Gareth would have a lot of popularity within the party. And
he would, and he's a senator did a few little things that maybe came against him, like not voting in the referendum.
Do you think that may have played a part, do you think?
Oh, I think so, yeah. There's more than that too, maybe, there was probably more than that, and I mean, nowadays social media is back into the 2009s and then back along, social media wouldn't have had a massive presence. Whereas here, the minute people found out about Gareth O'Hearn not voting in that referendum, I mean, it was nationwide news within a day or two,
And do you think that was fair, though? I mean, I know we had him on and I put it to him as well, but do you think it was fair?
Well, if you're backing something, you should be there to be behind it.
Even though he had his flights booked for a period of time.
Yeah, I mean, he's not the only one. There was others came out in different parties who said, we were canvassing both, we voted no.
I'm surprised, though, you think that may have played a part within... The party decision.
The ordinary Joe Soap in Tipperary is no fool. They might think we're fools in Dublin. We're not fools. The rural people of Ireland and the town people in Clonmel and the town people in the other towns, Tipperary, they're not stupid, They're worried about their next DSP bill. They're worried about, like you said there, we're in the middle of an economic boom. Tell that to a publican. Who's trying to pay their overhead.
Well, I didn't say that, but another John from Nina was onto us who said that.
Sorry.
But yeah. Tell that to the likes of my mother-in-law who's trying to make a living in a pub. You know, tell that to the rural pubs in the likes of New Inn Village and Artfinnan and Ballyporeen and these places. And even the pubs in Cashel, you know yourself, when you go around playing music in the social dancing scene. You know, people nowadays, there's the overheads. They're telling us ODSB is coming down again, but it's still not coming down fast enough. You know, they're talking about putting up excise on petrol and diesel in the next couple of months again.
Well, they're restoring. They would tell you they're restoring excise.
There's no need for them to restore us. Now, I do know that other chap that said there about the taxes. Corporation tax is the loss of it. You know, and
that's on the wane, and we have to be very careful about that. And that also brings up the notion of what it's costing us where asylum seekers and refugees are concerned. I wonder how sustainable that is if the coffers begin to go the other way, John.
And I was working in the hospital when we were back in 2009 and 8, and when the bus came and the famous Fianna Fáil government with the Greens again, which just leads us to... You know, because Fine Gael and Labour, and I know people probably kill me for saying Labour, but Fine Gael and Labour that bailed this country out, you know, and under Linda Kenny, and you know, I mean, Gilmore, Gael, both like.
Well, really, all they did was they went ahead with Lenehan's proposals.
The likes of me were stuck firstly with USD charge, and I'm just an ordinary worker. I was just an ordinary worker. Then all our pay was cut. We were never told we could get it back again. And we didn't.
We were told that it was a temporary tax.
But we never got it back.
They're
able to do it. You look at diesel, the difference between diesel from Tipperary up to Sligo last week and back over to Mayo and back into Roscommon was unreal. The difference. It was 183, 184 up there. It is 173 at the moment in Cashel. I got it for 117 just on the outskirts of Ross Grey the other day, coming home. You know, I mean, all these things, they're what counts in life to me. They're what counts in life, the ordinary citizen. And people in Dublin don't seem to realise that. And I think there's too many Dublin-based TDs. Firstly, I think it's way over the top. Secondly, there should be a minister. It should be, how can you appoint a Minister for Justice who has a degree in media consultancy?
You're saying she's not up to it, is that it?
No. And
but sure, hasn't she loads of people advising her? You know, isn't there a brand new one?
What cost? And who are these people? Eamon Ryan has what? 12 advisors to tell him that we have to drive a cycle of bicycles. You know, I don't get this. I think there's way too many TDs up in the Dáil anyway. I think our population, I really do.
And
I think there's way too many TDs.
And before I let you go, John, tell me, what do you think is going to happen when the general election comes around? Because a lot of people are looking for change, but I wonder, where is the change going to be found?
I tell you, in South Tip, firstly, I think the fact that they have nominated Michael Murphy gives them a fighting chance of the third seat. Right, that's the first thing. Michael Murphy is a very pleasurable man. He's a very soft-spoken, but a very determined individual. You know, he would be a gentleman. You know, I'm not saying Gareth Hamilton neither, but there's more, I don't know, there's something in Michael Murphy that people see. Secondly, I think myself that he's going to be fighting the last seats. I don't think he's going to top the poll. I don't think he's going to be second. But I think he has a fighting chance. I don't know about North Tip. I don't know what the story in North Tip is, really. They haven't got picked that candidate just as far as I know.
Yeah.
So that will be interesting to see. But it will be hard to take on. I think a man who could in North Tip, if he runs, is Seamus Morris. I think he will do extremely well.
Independent councillor, former Sinn Féin councillor, of course.
I think if you look at the local election, I think some parties have started to realise they're going to get a kicking.
And I think look, when you only need to listen to the radio station every day, your own radio, not RTE or Virgin Media. Just listen to your own radio station every day. And the amount of people who are dissatisfied, there's a lot of anger out there.
Huge amount of it.
I mean, I have seen it myself. And I know, you know, I've heard it from people. Like, I've heard Fine Gael people who said they won't vote. I've heard Fianna Fáil people who say they don't know where to turn.
That's the thing. That's what I'd love to know is where will they turn if they're looking for...
I think in the local elections, there's going to be a lot of independent candidates going to get four seats. I think the main part is going to be relying on the back end of the poll. I think when the seconds, thirds and fourths come in, then a fella might say, yeah, sure, he's in my parish. Try to give him a scratch, you know, at number four, number five. But I think a lot of people are going to go independent. And I think it's the likes of Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and maybe Sinn Féin to a certain extent that are going to suffer. Because Sinn Féin, for the last 6 months, have been kind of turning in the bed. One day they're at this side, the next minute they're at this side, and
well, they've certainly had their difficulties. John, I have to leave it there because I have to go to guarding. But most interesting conversation, John.
Yeah, it's too late for throwing the holy water, friend, on the radio station.
We could do with it today for sure. Look after yourself, John. That's John Halley speaking to us there. Gardening is on the way.
Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, poke on. You can't beat experience. With over 50 years maintaining Peugeot cars and vans, we like to call ourselves the experts. Call Slattery's Garage for a free vehicle health check today. 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call Tip Today on 1-800-938-007.
Now, time for gardening, and glad to be joined by Alton Nesbitt of Arabon. Good morning to you, Alton.
Good morning, Frank.
Good to talk to you today. We were talking about pishogues earlier on, and it being the 1st of May and all of that, and we were talking about the hawthorn and how important that is where Irish culture and tradition is concerned. What do you know about it, Alton?
Yeah, and see, the hawthorn is quite a beautiful tree. It's Cortegus monogyna is the Latin name of it. It's a lovely tree, really, because it has a mass of these beautiful white flowers on it coming into May. And then in the autumn time, you'll have the lovely red berries on it as well, which is particularly good. Now, the thing about hawthorn, they're fantastic for a small garden because they don't grow too large or too wide or anything like that. And they're very, very good for... if you have a very exposed garden as well, because they can take the wind and very exposed areas. They're quite hardy. You often see them, around Clare or even in the west of Ireland, and you have that kind of lovely windswept look from them. Now, because they're the May tree, they're synonymous with Irish tradition of tying ribbons to it or bows. To it, or even hanging eggshells on it or paint it. They're kind of a mythical tree, really, because they're so hard and so resilient, really, that they're used in Irish folklore as the fairies. You know, so the fairies would dance around the May tree or the Cortegus.
It's known as the May. May tree, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
It is. It's quite a nice tree coming into the center. Now, the thing about them as well, there's some lovely cultivars of it as well that you can get. There's one called Paul Scarlet. It's a lovely double pink to red flower that comes on it. And that's a particularly nice shaped tree. It's almost like a mushroom-shaped conical-shaped round head on it, which is particularly nice. But that comes in a mass of flowers at this time of the year as well. So it's a really, really lovely tree to have in the garden. But also, if you have a hedge of it, and hawthorn is great as a hedge or a boundary fence, because you can get them bare-rooted between September and March and plant them as a good, sturdy hedge, especially in exposed areas. It grows quite well. So you can get them, whips. They're about only €1 each, and plant about 7 per metre. Almost do kind of a staggered row of them, and it makes it very stock-proof as a border hedge or a boundary boundary edge is quite good. And they're lovely. They're a lovely thing, actually, when they are planted well. You often see sometimes if you do this coppaging, you can do a kind of a, almost like a 45-degree angle as it grows, and it makes it quite sturdy and very, very stock-proof as well. So they are a fantastic tree, really, to have in the garden. Again, they don't grow too large. Nice, compact, round, kind of almost like a mushroom hedge in it. But at this time of year, an abundance of flowers on it. Fantastic for the bees, of course, and all insects is quite good. And apparently the honey from whitethorn is magnificent.
Oh, is that very interesting indeed. Another question in for, well, lots of questions in for you. I got a two-year-old damson tree. Some of the branches are rotten and falling off. There's some shoots at the bottom of the tree. And this is in from Sean, and he's wondering, do you have advice where this is concerned?
Yeah, with damsons or any plum, really, is to try and get rid of any dead or damaged wood on it, because sometimes you get a thing called dieback on it, which is like a canker that attacks the branches of it. So kind of cut that off as much as possible, back to where there's good, healthy growth. And that will encourage it to produce better shoots and stronger, more vigour as well. With the damson, it's very important at this time of the year is to feed them sulphate or potash. It's the base of all your fruit trees, really, just to force it to produce plenty of flowers for next year. Because it's quite a young tree, you're not going to get anything really for the first 5 years. So really all you're concentrating on is trying promoting as much growth as possible and good, healthy stems. So by feeding it sulphate or potash, will force to produce loads of flowers for you and therefore more fruit then. But really, this for the next 5 years, it's all vegetative growth as much as possible. They do flower on second-year-old wood. So it's very important when you get to the size that you want it at, that you allow it to produce stems for 2 years to have the flowers on it. So it's very important to not keep pruning it every year.
All right. Listener wondering about a conference pear self-pollinating, or do you need two, and how long before they'll bear fruit?
No, conference is a self-pollinating variety, and it's quite a good pear for Ireland, really, because it's quite a hardy pear as well. It's very important because the pears, they flower quite early in the year. They're one of the first things to come into flower, actually. So you'll often find it kind of in January, February, you see the flower bud starting to form on it. So when they come into flower, it's very important to have it planted somewhere where it doesn't get any late frost damage on it. It's always up against a wall, or in amongst other trees as well, and that will protect it from any severe frost on the flower buds. Pears, again, you can get these dwarf conference pears now as well, and they're much quicker cropping. You'll get them almost like a double graft on it, and they will produce fruit within 3 years. But generally, with ordinary conference pears, with the ordinary rootstock, they tend to take about 5 years to produce any fruit on them. But they are quite heavy croppers. The fruit remains quite hard when you harvest them. So you leave them kind of season for about 3 weeks in a tray on the windowsill, and they'll season quite well, and they're quite juicy then after 3 weeks from seasoning.
All right. Patrick says my Monstera plant is going green. I use baby bio to feed it. Am I doing something wrong? It was thriving, so it's not thriving at the moment. Yeah.
Really, with the Monsteras, and any indoor plant that you want to keep any variegation on it or anything like that, is to give it as much sunlight as possible, and that will keep the lovely variegation on the plant. So you get much better foliage on it. So put it in a brighter area. That will encourage it to have better colour on it. Feeding with the baby bio is a good thing to do as well, but also just to encourage good healthy foliage and healthy growth on it, I would give it a sequester of iron feed, and that just gives it much more vigour and much more healthy foliage on it. So again, but only feed that kind of once every 3 weeks, just to promote good growth on it, and again, place it in a more sunnier position to get much better colour on foliage.
Finally, I'm just going to sum up a few calls to us today. It's about hanging baskets. Can you give us some advice on that at this point, Alton?
Yeah, this is a fantastic time of year to get your containers all planted up. And I love, there's such a variety of plants that you can put into your hanging baskets. These are the lovely kind of trailing plants that you can put in into your containers. Things like the lovely, there's a thing called Serfinia. It's a trailing petunia. And these are particularly good. And you get them in a variety of colours. I mean, they really are magnificent. They're almost going to trail about 3 foot in length. So with a mass of flowers from it, and they're quite an easy thing to grow as well. And so the Serfinias are quite good. Other things that I like to put in amongst them as well is a thing called Diastia, and the Diastia is lovely pink or white flowers that you get in those. Quite a hardy little plant as well, and flowers all summer. Bacopa, Brachycomb, Bidens, even a thing called Helichrysum. These are all lovely hanging basket plants that are put into your containers. It is a good idea is to, when you are doing your containers, use a tub and basket compost. This has a quite good wetting agent in it so that the baskets or the containers don't dry out too much, and it has a slow-release fertilizer in it. So we have a tub and basket compost, which is quite good for that. And other things that you can plant out in your borders, and even like they're quite hardy bedding plants, really, things like the nasturtiums or the antirrhinums. Those are the lovely snapdragons.
Yes.
They're particularly good, and they can get them different heights as well. But they're lovely plants to have in your borders that keep coming every year. You know, so the nasturtiums are great for self-seeding. The antirrhinums will tend to self-seed as well. And even they're kind of biennial. You'll have them for a couple of years. There's a lovely thing called Lismachia as well. It's a lovely golden Lismachia, which is a lovely trailing plant. Again, fantastic for trailing out over containers, but has this lovely bright foliage, similar to the Helichrysum, but a much finer leaf on it, and quite prolific, lovely flowers out of it, actually, yellow flowers come out of that as well. There's lovely things as well, if you have a balcony that you want, is to have lovely trailing ivy-leaf geraniums. And they're particularly good for, let's say, dry areas. So even if you go off on holidays, you come back, there's still an abundance of flowers. And so the ivy leaf geraniums are particularly good for a balcony or for areas that you can't really get at to water too regularly. So they're particularly good. So there's lots of lovely hanging basket plants that we have in stock now. And there's a great selection of even all the bedding plants, and particularly the hardier ones like the antirrhinums and nasturtiums and violas and pansies.
And I presume you're available if people want to chat. You're in Tyone there in Nina, aren't you?
In Tyone, yeah. And come in, because we have a lovely coffee dock there now as well on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And it's fantastic just to sit down and have your coffee and walk through the garden centre as well.
Sounds lovely. That's Arabon, of course. Look after yourself, Alton. Thank you and happy gardening to you. That's about it for me. Leanne produced, Annie looked after her content. Stephen on the way with the Time Tunnel on the Lunchtime Show. And I'll talk to you tomorrow. Look after yourselves, won't you? Bye-bye.
Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. You can't beat experience. With over 50 years maintaining Peugeot cars and vans, we like to call ourselves the experts. Call Slattery's Garage for a free vehicle health check today. 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.